Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Some interesting developments across the country this afternoon when it comes to the campus protests. And I think it's going to take a little while for us to figure some of this out. But I started the show a couple hours ago very encouraged by Washington University and their reaction over the weekend, sending a notification out on Saturday saying, hey, you are not going to be allowed to, you know, take our campus hostage. This is a private university. We're not going to allow it. So they go in, they make some arrests. They suspended a fair amount of students who were arrested today. They sent a letter out to all of the students who were arrested saying you have been temporarily suspended and we're going to look into this right now. That's absolutely the right tact right now. It says, I've received information from the Washington University Police Department that you allegedly participated in a protest on the afternoon and evening of April 27th on the Danforth campus. Protesters marched to the Olin Library, began setting up tents outside of Olin Library without authorization. They go into the detail here of how they had wagons filled with supplies and food to establish an encampment. When told to disperse, protesters moved to Tisch Park, set up tents. They said nope, and they said in the email that went out to students today, you were allegedly part of this group of protesters and were given numerous warnings to disperse. Now, we want to know what's going to happen with Megan Green. Megan Green goes on KMOX. She proudly boasts that she's an adjunct at Wash U.
I think that the police response was definitely dictated by the university. There were six different police departments that were on site. I don't think that organically that number of police officers would be on site without the request of the university. I saw police grab one girl by her hair and drag her out. I saw them body slam several people, including a faculty member who had his glasses broken. I really hope going forward that the university chooses dialogue and diplomacy over just sending in police on their own students and faculty.
Yeah, so she's the president of the Board of Aldermen, and I don't have the soundbite. At one point, she goes, I'm an adjunct. She boasts about being an adjunct professor. Suspend her as well. Look, the police did exactly what they were supposed to do upon instruction from Washington University. Their campus was about to be taken over as an encampment. They didn't want it to happen. We don't want to be in the national news again here in St. Louis, so they did the right thing. And these protesters, they're not organic. She talking about the police? No, the police shouldn't be organic. The police should be ready for things when it turns into the S, which was going to happen. And how ironic is it that she talks about organic protest, given the nature of what's happening with this ridiculous, you know, Marxist upheaval on campuses across the country. So Wash U doing the right thing. They made arrests today on the campus of the University of Texas. You got situations. I talked about this earlier at UCLA. They've canceled the main graduation, already canceled. And then Karen Bass is out there, the mayor of Los Angeles, say, well, they have all these other, you know, smaller graduation ceremonies for the different departments. And now you have the radicals that were supposed to speak on those commencements or at those commencements, they think the university is doing the wrong thing by calling in the cops. This is a mess right now. And one thing that I said last week, I think it's become pretty clear to employers across the country. You know, it used to be you sift through these applications from Columbia, Harvard, Yale, Wash U. Hell, these are the best and brightest. Aren't we at the point where the opposite is true, where you're going through your applications and you're thinking, man, Columbia University, nope, that's not worth the risk. Washington University, I don't know about that, not worth the risk. I think that's where we are right now. We'll continue to talk about it, and we'll have much more. I have some featured in Audio Cut of the Day as well. And you can always use the rewind function and go back. Jane Duker and I had a great conversation about Megan Green and those protests in the monologue at 3 o'clock. All right. John Lott is back with us. He is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He's always been great over the decades on guns and on crime. He wrote a piece that was in The Wall Street Journal about the violent crime issue that I thought was near and dear to our hearts here in St. Louis, because we know that these numbers have been manipulated. We also know at this point that the FBI didn't really get crime stats from Los Angeles and some other cities. So when the Biden administration wants to make the claim that crime is going down, as does our mayor Tish, well, they don't really have all the information that is accurate, as you might expect. John is with us from New York. He's the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. John Lott, how are you?
Well, doing great. Thanks for having me on. It's great to talk to you again.
We've had, you know, quite the issue here in St. Louis with just trying to determine. Our mayor says, you know, crime is down. The local paper tries to make the case that crime is down. You get confusing numbers that come out. There's been, you know, inaccurate data, et cetera. But you've looked at this more nationwide, and we are told the same thing from the White House in the briefing room, and it's not necessarily the truth, is it?
Look, there are two different measures of crime that are there, and I don't think that most of the media understands it. I mean, surely the White House does, but the two measures are, one is reported crime, and that's usually what people have used in the past. The FBI puts out a counting of the number of crimes that are reported to police by individuals. But the second measure, it tries to get at total crime, because we know that most crimes are not most violent crimes, and surely the vast majority of property crimes, are not reported to police. And so there's something called the National Crime Victimization Survey, which surveys about 240,000 people each year. And they've been doing this for about 50 years. And what you find is that while reported crimes have been falling, total crimes have been going up. So I'll give you a simple example. You look at the data for 2021 and 2022, total violent or reported violent crimes fell by 2%, but total violent crimes increased by 42% between those 2 years. And, you know, you end up with a situation where when law enforcement is basically falling apart in large parts of this country, people don't see the point of reporting crimes as frequently as they did in the past. So if you look at cities with a million or more population, for example, in the 5 years before COVID, 44% of violent crimes resulted in arrest. It started falling in 2020, and by 2022, only 20% of violent crimes that were reported to police resulted in arrest. That's that dropped from 44% to 20%. You had an even larger drop in property crime arrests. And just to give you an idea how startling this is, if you look at it, arrests as a percentage of total crimes, not just reported crimes, but total crimes, it's 8% of total violent crimes result in arrest, and 1% of total property crimes result in arrest. And obviously not all arrests result in charges, and not all charges are prosecuted or result in convictions. And so you end up with a situation where, and economists, criminologists have known this for a long time, that when people don't think that the criminals are going to be caught and punished, they don't see the point as much in going through the process of reporting the crimes.
So I think St. Louis would probably fit right along with that particular theory just because of everything that's happened here. But how then do you account for, you know, the data and the claims that the politicians make about things getting better, John?
Because they're looking at crimes reported to police. They're not looking at unreported crimes. And the thing is, you have to, I mean, I assume most people aren't going to argue with the fact that we know that most crimes are not reported to police. And they're not going to argue with the fact that they know that the share of crimes not reported to police changes over time. And whether people go through the process of reporting crimes to police is related to whether they think anything's going to be done about it. Look, I'll give you an example. There are lots of police departments in this country where if you call up 911, the dispatcher will say, unless you have the criminal literally right there, they're not going to send out a police officer to your location, that you can come in to the police department and fill out a crime report. Well, you know, that's an extra burden on people. There are going to be people who otherwise would have reported, which are going to say, you know, it's just not worth my time to go and do this because probably nothing's going to happen anyway. I mean, you have police officers which will go and tell people, well, you know, I can take this report, but, you know, this is a property crime and we're simply not going to spend the resources on you know, solving this case. We're not going to go and arrest somebody. And the person says to themselves, well, then what's the point of me going through the process of filling this out? And look, there are multiple reasons why arrest rates have fallen across the country. You've had cuts in the number of police. You've had huge number of retirements in police, particularly older officers who have a lot of experience, who have a lot of knowledge about how to go and solve crimes are retiring. Even if you go and hire somebody new, it's going to take them years before they have the same experience and ability as somebody who just retired. But on top of that, you have district attorneys, and surely you've had them in St. Louis and other places, which have been refusing to prosecute violent criminals and surely not prosecute property crimes. And a police officer says, well, you know, what's the point of arresting somebody if they're going to be not going to be charged and immediately released? And so you've demoralized even the police that are there.
Right.
You know, and finally,
well, that summarizes St. Louis. You know, all of that is absolutely what's happening here. You got retirements. You got people that aren't paid well. They're going to the county. You know, they're maybe not staying in the city. They don't want to, you know, go into this line of work because of the way that they've been treated. All of those factors absolutely play. Everything you said there is so relatable to what we're dealing with, especially the 911 call. We can't even, you know, get people to answer 911 calls in this community.
Yeah, right. No, well, there's a number of places around the country where they can't even get people to answer 911 calls, let alone get people to actually show up at the crime scene. And so, you know, you call in, you're told that they can't send an officer out. You know, simply calling up dispatch doesn't have it as a reported crime. It only gets reported as a crime once you get an officer there and they fill out the necessary paperwork to have it reported as a crime. And so, you know, I was looking at some numbers. New Orleans, the average response time for 911 calls in New Orleans is 3 hours.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's staggering. Well, we hear stories like that here where people are calling in pretty urgent situations and they cannot get a response.
Right. Well, so if you don't have a police officer come out, no reports filed, it's not listed as a reported crime. So, I mean, that's one way you can go and reduce reported crimes. And that's what the politicians and that's what the media are looking at. Now, look, in the past, prior to 2020, reported crimes and total crimes did a pretty good job of moving together. But since that time, they've been moving in opposite directions. I mean, we've never seen anything like this. We've seen the complete collapse of law enforcement in this country, not just in terms of policing, but in terms of district attorneys across the country, you know, and there have been other problems that have been occurring with bail reform in a number of places. And, you know, so you're in a situation where, you know, law enforcement just isn't able to go and do its job. I'm not blaming the police. I think the police are extremely important. They've been stretched extremely thin. And, you know, so you have a situation here where you can't confuse changes in the number of reported crimes with changes in what's happening to total crime. But unfortunately, the media, you know, you have media story after media story saying, violent crime is falling, but they should say reported violent crime is falling.
Yeah, it's so dishonest.
And then, you know, one of the other things that's happened, you'll see these news stories that will talk about murder. And if you read the news stories, and unfortunately I'm forced myself to do this, they compare it all the time to the peak in 2020. They'll say, okay, it's fallen. We had a big drop in murder in 2023. It fell by 13%. The thing is, they don't compare it to what it was in 2019, before law enforcement started falling apart. And even with the drop in 2013, it's still 7.4% higher than it was in 2019. And so you would think at least they would compare it to pre-COVID to give some people some perspective, rather than the news stories constantly comparing it to what the peak was.
Wow.
You know, it's kind of like the discussions about inflation, where they say, well, inflation's come down, but they don't say, you know, prices haven't come down. And they don't talk about the fact that the inflation rate is still higher than it was, before Biden took office.
Yeah, that would assume that the media is actually going to be honest about some of the things that they do. And that simply doesn't happen. You know, the one thing, John, here in St. Louis that is good, and I don't know if you can, you know, say that some of this is happening around the country. We had our Soros prosecutor that got booted almost a year ago. Finally, Kim Gardner. We've got a guy here, Gabe Gore, who actually, all reports are, and he's running for election unopposed, which is good. So there's no progressive that's come out of the woodwork. But we're hearing good things. The cops on the street feel like they're, you know, having cases that are presented, they're being prosecuted. So if there's a sliver here in St. Louis, that's what it is. It's on the DA's office.
I know she was removed. And, that's great. Unfortunately, the Soros, district attorneys who were up for re-election in 2022, all of them who were actually on the ballot won across the country. And they picked up a few new ones that were there.
Yeah, we got lucky, I think. So, unfortunately, it took a young girl's legs to be removed because she got hit by a car in a tragic accident. John Lott, who is with the Crime Prevention Research Center, he's the president. Always great to keep things into perspective with you, John. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. People can find the data at our website at crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
We'll check it out. Thank you, John Lott.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, unfortunately, we have a terrible developing story this afternoon from Charlotte, North Carolina. You had three U.S. Marshals officers who were killed while serving a warrant. I think it was eight officers altogether. Three marshals killed, four with the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department were shot. One of those officers still in critical condition this afternoon. In total, eight officers were shot. They were serving a warrant on a suspect in possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. The shooting began at that time. Numerous law enforcement officers, the initial reports said, had been shot. Now we know, I guess, three dead, but it looks like sure there could be, unfortunately, four dead, eight total. The shooter is dead as well, but I don't know anything more about that. That's a developing story this afternoon. I know a little bit about this next story we're going to share just because he became a friend of mine, and it's one of those stories that is just kind of mind-boggling when you hear it in total. And now there's been a bit of a result in court. Chris Smith is back with us this afternoon. Chris became a friend after he was a regular caller to my show. We'll kind of explain the story, but the guy that was charged with not only killing the woman that he was with a couple of Thanksgivings ago, but also putting a bullet into Chris Smith's head, was convicted on Friday of multiple counts. And Chris Smith is back with us this afternoon. How are you holding up? I know that was a good resolution when you heard the news on Friday.
I'm doing well, my friend. How are you doing?
Well, I'm good. Let's just recap the story briefly. We've known each other now for, it's probably about 10 years when you started calling my show. And then in 2016, when Trump, this was on Camo X, when Trump was running for president, you guaranteed me that Trump was going to win. And I said, Chris, you idiot, I'm a smart elite talk show host. I know everything, right? You're going to be wrong. And then I lost my bet and you were able to shave my head, but you let me wiggle out of that. That's the short version of how we kind of became friends. But then what happened in the aftermath of that, we ended up going to a Cardinals game and hanging out a little bit. Your mom hits me up on Messenger on the Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend. That would now be 2.5 years ago, right?
Correct. Yes, 2.5 years ago.
And she told me, I probably still have that message in Messenger, and I just couldn't believe it because she said, "Are you the radio guy?" And I'm going to pull that up right now because I didn't know your mom. And the first message she sends to me, Chris, it says, I'm going to go back here. Hang on.
This is talking lady.
Yeah. Well, she sent me a lot of follow-up messages, too. But she said, Mark, this is the first one. All right. So this is 10 o'clock in the morning on November 26th. And I think I might have missed this on that Friday. And I look at Messenger on that Saturday and it says, Mark, are you the one on the radio station? This is Chris Smith's mom. Chris was shot in the head. CJ. And my response at that time, on when I answered finally on the 27th, I said, wait, what? And I gave her my cell phone number because I don't use Messenger that much. And she told me the whole story. And the story was is that you were with a woman that you were on kind of a first date with, and her crazy ex-boyfriend tracked you guys down, shot her in the head. You were left for dead. And now, in the aftermath of this trial, Chris, suffice it to say, you know a lot more details than you even knew before Friday, right?
I know a lot more details. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
So he was convicted. Tell me what happened in court on Friday. And you weren't there. You didn't testify because you can't remember any of this. Is that correct?
That is correct. But I could have went up there. But I agreed with Andrew, the state's prosecutor, probably would not be a wise decision to have me in there because of the bad things I really want to do to the guy.
Right.
Don't want to screw the case up. So, yeah, so I stayed here and let the rest of the family go up there. And, but... Yeah, I found out a lot of things, man. I mean, do you want me to start rambling them off?
Well,
do you want to ask me?
I might want you to start rambling them off. Let me just make this observation. And in you sent me a story from the Belleville News Democrat, and you know, justifiably, I don't want to be misinterpreted here. Bobby Tarr was this piece of human debris that shot his ex-girlfriend Leslie Reeves. That was the woman you were with. She was very well known in Troy, Illinois. Now, the stories that have come out about this case focus on Leslie because she was killed and she was the victim. I would, with no disrespect to any of her family, like to point out that you're a pretty big victim in this as well, and your name doesn't get mentioned as much simply because you survived and she didn't. I think you know my point there. But
I do.
You know, look, there's a lot of victims in this, and your family is amongst them. But this guy.
Yes.
Gets handed a guilty verdict on several counts. And then, Chris, the other thing that's crazy about this, as you know, is he was hit with a charge because he tried to put a hit out on one of the cops in the case. Isn't that
and
what
myself.
Happened?
Yeah, and myself. Yeah, Detective Jeff Roach and myself. He tried to put a hit out on me because he thought I remembered everything. Yeah, and the best line was in that trial, he said, "I'm a smart man." No, actually, he's a freaking idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my goodness, man. You have no idea. I cannot wait to go on July 1st to the sentencing, and I get to get up on that stand and say my piece.
So you do get to testify then in the sentencing phase?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I do. Yes, I do.
Well, I think I want to be there.
I cannot wait.
I really do. So what were the new, you know, you don't remember much of anything that happened that night, but in the course of the case and seeing the evidence delivered and the arguments, et cetera, what did you learn?
Well, I learned that the night after the bar, well, actually that night, he actually came up to Farmersville once at 7 p.m., then once at 11 p.m., and then back at 1 a.m., and that's when it all went down.
So he came into your house at like 1 a.m.? It was after midnight?
Yes, correct. So apparently her and I were in the kitchen making a pizza, because every time, I'm a creature of habit, every time I go out to the bars or whatever, I always come home and make a pizza.
Right.
So, nope, makes total sense. I was cooking a pizza because I was hungry. And so apparently what they say is he came through the storm door, tried to rip that off. And then I guess she saw him. My refrigerator was like next to that door. So she went to go move the refrigerator in front of the door there. And then I went to get between the door and the fridge to try to wedge myself up to hold that door shut. And with doing that, my head was leaning against the door and he shot through the door with the Hellcat 9mm hollow point bullet.
Yeah.
Right into the right side of my head. And then she apparently went running into the living room and he busted into the door while I'm laying on the floor there. And then he went to the Christmas tree and shot her. She was like in a kneeling position and shot her execution style.
I mean, that's
through
just
the brainstem.
Yeah.
Yep. And then after that, I tried to get up and tried to get my phone. So I basically trashed the kitchen, trying to walk around there, knocking chairs, the table over, everything. But it was like a bad B movie because apparently there's blood spattered all over the head. So the whole time I'm doing this, I have like a freaking fountain of blood shooting everywhere. So, I mean, just imagine that, Mark. I mean, just like Denny says, only you, Chris, only you. Yeah, only me. But I just wouldn't give up. And the best line of the trial, Andrew said, the prosecuting attorney, he said there was no fight in there because the defense attorney was trying to say there was a struggle in the fight because there was a knife out on the counter that I always used to cut pizza, and a big, long, white-handled knife, a pizza cutter knife. You know, and Andrew said, the only fight that Chris was having in that house was a fight with death.
Yeah, unfortunately. And you won that. You personally won. But let's kind of, you know, what happened in the aftermath of Sharon, Chris's mom, reaching out to me, that was that Saturday morning of Thanksgiving weekend. You were shot on that Wednesday evening. For the next month, your mom kept me, you know, kind of posted. I told so many people this whole story. I told the audience. I told friends. I said, I'm never going to speak to this guy again. I was convinced that I was never, even if you survived, I thought there's no way that you're going to get through. So then it was like, I don't even know if you remember the date, but it was the third week of January. I'm driving on I-44 into work. It's about 1 p.m. I see a call come through, and it was like a video call. And I think I answered it, but then I hung up because it sounded very strange, the voice, because you had several strokes and your voice was different. You called back and I realized it was you. I couldn't believe it. And I think the tears were coming from both you and I at the time, because honestly, God, dude, I never thought I would hear from you again. And that really started your journey into recovery, which we've tried to keep the audience notified about this. The recovery has been long. It's been difficult. You've had setback after setback, but some positive things more recently, I think it's fair to say, Chris.
Yes, it's on the upside, man. I'm kicking butt and taking names, and I'm not stopping here. So I've got a long way to go, but I'm coming back. I'm making a comeback.
Do you know why? Like, you don't even remember anything that led up to that evening. What's the last time you remember something from before Thanksgiving? Is there a moment where things just started to go blank?
Yeah, I was passing my neighbor Denny Hobson's house on the way home from work. Okay. He's actually my best friend up there. That was the EMT that actually rescued me and saved my life. And when I passed his house, I looked down the street next to his house, and my gut said, stay home, don't go out, or go to St. Louis. Just stay home or don't go out. And that was it. Next thing I know, I wake up on January 12th, 2022, being told I was shot in the head by a woman named Leslie's ex-boyfriend. And I said to the nurse, I said, I don't know if freaking Leslie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
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 Because you didn't remember any of that.
Nothing. Nothing at all, man. I don't remember nothing. It's just, and believe me, I try so hard.
Yeah, but, you know, we've talked about this before. I think maybe it's better, right? Might be better that you don't.
Yeah, perhaps. But, I mean, just, I don't know. Maybe even, like, to try to remember something, you know? I don't know.
I know. But did the experts say that maybe that stuff, maybe your body protects you from having to think about all these things, but is it possible that it comes back?
It could, but I mean, chances are it never will. It's a defense mechanism that our bodies do.
Makes sense.
You know, from trauma, you know, we'll shut it out and block it out.
So on the other charges that he's going to be sentenced, as you mentioned, in July, and in Illinois, that unfortunately Illinois is not a death penalty state. So is the option life in prison, no chance of parole?
Correct.
Okay. So
and then also he's up. So we are going to prosecute him for the murder for hire too.
Right. And that trial has to happen not until he's even sentenced, right?
Correct. Yep.
That's now, after the sentencing. Will you testify in that trial at all?
No, because okay. I mean, it's nothing for me to testify at that.
Right,
no.
I wasn't sure. But that's fascinating. And then give us an update, because one of the things we've been keeping people posted on, Chris and I, mainly Chris, because he wants to share his story of inspiration in particular. We've talked about doing different things and tried to get you on the radar of different organizations. You got 48 hours kind of sniffing on this story right now. So
yes,
what's the update on that?
Yes, we do. He, my other mark in my life, but he's mark of the sea, my friend. But yeah, he was
the 48 hours. He's the 48 hours producer.
Yes, yes. His name's Mark Goldberg. But yes, yeah. So that's why I make a joke about it. I said, yeah, you're my other Mark. My other Mark here in St. Louis.
Well, because were they at the trial? Was CBS at the trial? Or somebody might have been there, right?
Yeah. He was there. Yeah, they're all up there. And so we're actually going to start shooting for that here in the next week or two.
Good. And then the only remaining question or issue I think that lingers about any of this is who's going to play me in the movie and how big of a role is that going to be? Don't you think that's really
well,
where we're at?
Right. I agree. I can't wait for the kitchen scene though. I want to see me jumping on the kitchen
goodness. I don't know if I want to see that. Look, the whole thing, we can kind of, you know, lightheartedly talk about this, but you have been through, and I know this better than most just because we've had these conversations. You've been through hell and back, and I hope that what happened on Friday just gives you a little bit of closure, even though this is not all over and you still have a lot of work to do in your physical and your mental and emotional recovery, but it's got to be at least something that you can put in the rear view mirror at this point that guy's never getting out of prison.
It's a big freaking load off my back, my friend. A big load.
Well, thanks.
You have no clue.
Yeah, thanks for the update
load,
this
man.
Afternoon. And we'll continue to follow the journey. I might as well just let you get this in.
Hey, Grandpa.
That wasn't what I was going to let you get in, but go ahead and spread some love about the Battlehawks. Chris Smith's a huge Battlehawks fan. They won again over the weekend. They are pointed toward the Super Bowl in this league.
45-12, baby. I didn't text you too bad. Only a couple times. I was good on it.
Yeah, but that was impressive.
It was great. It was a really, really, really good game.
Are they back home this weekend?
Off. Yes, they are.
All right.
They are.
We talked about getting to a game. Maybe this will be the one. We'll see. Chris Smith, thanks
for
the update.
That would be great.
Take care. Thank you.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/across America.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, I can't wait for the Jill Stein interview. I'm not exactly sure if Jill knows what she's getting herself into, but apparently she was arrested at the Wash U protests. Sue, please let me know how that goes tomorrow morning if I miss it.
All right, will do.
Because that's and then you have Megan Green as a new proxy for the Iranians. You know, basically being pro Hamas here in St. Louis, the Aldermanic Board President.
I mean,
that's always fun, right?
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Great.
I have audio cut of the day coming up, but here is an undercover story. Both you and I, we do love to travel. We travel on airplanes occasionally, right? We talk about airplane problems. Did you hear about the Delta flight that had an issue on Friday at JFK?
No.
Okay. I don't think a lot of people have heard about this. Our friend Jazz Shaw at Hot Air wrote about it. That's the only way that I know about it. But apparently, this was shortly after Flight 520 took off from JFK in New York, and the passengers heard a loud noise coming from the right wing, there was a vibration. It turned out that the plane's emergency exit slide had deployed and fallen off the plane.
What?
A search was underway to locate the missing parts, and this was another Boeing plane. It was a 767-300 rather than the 737 MAX, which has been in the news a lot. But yeah, the story says basically it had to make an emergency return to JFK after the emergency slide came apart. The airline said a search for the slide was ongoing. So after the aircraft had landed and proceeded to a gate, it was observed that the emergency slide had separated from the aircraft. In a statement, the FAA said that the Delta flight returned safely to the airport around 8:35 local time after the crew reported a vibration. The FAA will investigate. Well, I would hope that the FAA is investigating.
Well, and here's the other thing. Doesn't this make you feel like, is somebody not walking around the airplane first and making sure this stuff is okay? Because that's what I'm starting to think about.
Well, and I would go a step. This is what Jazz does in his piece, and I'm going to take you back maybe two steps before that, because the issue might be, yeah, they have everyone that, you know, is supposed to do that on site at the airport. But let's face it, there's a little bit of a pattern here where,
yes,
for our friends at Boeing, God bless them here in St. Louis, production speed seems to be prioritized ahead of safety and inspection. So now you have a bit of a pattern of spotty, you know, spotty repair work at best, and that's concerning. So, yes, I agree with you that that stuff should be looked at, but if it's happening two steps before that person's supposed to look at it, then what do you do?
Well, that's just it. I mean, it shouldn't happen to begin with, but then when we don't pass the second round or the third round, it's like, who's looking? Anybody?
Well, and again, I'm guessing that, you know, 95% of the people that are hearing that story right now probably hasn't heard of that. I'm not saying the media is trying to do any kind of, you know, cover up there. It's just the news cycle is so fast and furious. And in this one, you know, we'd hear about it if there was actual video of the plane door or something. But I guess we don't have that. Anyway, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Let's be careful out there, airlines. Let's do this here this afternoon.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, I'm going to do a little bit of an extended segment here just because we do have breaking news in this terrible story from Charlotte. This is WPT's Nick Oxner reporting on these three U.S. Marshals, and there's one in critical condition as well this afternoon.
Shots fired at officer, possibly one down. Subjects, correction, two down. Subjects barricaded himself.
Just before 2 p.m., a U.S. Marshals task force was attempting to serve a warrant in Charlotte, North Carolina, when at least one suspect inside the house opened fire.
Tragically, there were three members of the U.S. Marshals Task Force who were pronounced deceased, and there were four CMPD officers who were shot, one being in critical condition, who is now in the hospital fighting for his life.
Officers, including SWAT teams, quickly responded and shut down the neighborhood, including nearby schools.
We were driving by. We heard about over 100 gunshots. It sounded like World War III.
Neighbor Tyler Wilson said the shootout lasted for 30 minutes.
There was shots ringing left and right. There was an officer got dragged by his arms to our house.
Police say one suspect has been killed, and they are questioning two other people found inside the house.
Today we lost some heroes that are out to just simply trying to keep our community safe.
Today's shooting is the deadliest day for law enforcement since July 2016, when five Dallas police officers were shot and killed during a protest against police abuse.
Excluding today, 10 U.S. Marshals have been killed in the line of duty in the last 5 years. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper is en route to Charlotte as we speak.
Yeah, that's Nick Oxner, who did that report that aired a little while ago, WPT in Charlotte. A terrible story. We'll continue to track that. And then this will also be a part of my Audio Daily Double. This is making the rounds of the interwebs this afternoon, Twitter and Instagram. In fact, Eli Sivas, who shared this footage on Instagram, probably knows that he's going viral right now. He's a Jewish student at UCLA, and he tried to go to his own campus today to go to classes. And they were lining up, trying to prevent him from going into the main entrance. So they wanted him to walk around. There were Palestinian protesters, most of whom, of course, had masks on, that were stopping him from going to classes. He's a student. He pays his tuition. He has every right to be there. They likely do not have a right to be there. They didn't care, and this is what happened.
You guys have closed the entrance. We are UCLA students. I have my ID right here. I'm being blocked off, not by the security guard, but by you two. You three. Oh, look, they're making their burger while I'm going this way. Excuse me. This is what they do. Everybody, look at this. Look at this. I'm a UCLA student. I deserve to go here. We pay tuition. This is our school, and they're not letting me walk in. My class is over there. I want to use that entrance. Well, I can't take it. Will you let me go in? This could be over in a second. Just let me and my friends go in.
Now, he tries to go in, and they block him.
We're not engaging with that.
Then you can move. Will you move? Okay, we're going.
Yeah, the one woman says, we're not engaging. Well, don't engage, then move, right? We're going to, you know, we're going to make you move. He tries to go in. Doesn't work.
We're going. I'm going in. I have my hands up. I'm not hurting them.
Yeah, he tried. They stopped him. The other thing that he did is he tried to shame them a little bit because, again, 90% of these protesters, and I don't know if it's because they're just woke college students who think that the virus is still swirling around on them and is going to try to attack them underneath their mask or whatever, but they're all wearing masks. Now, he tells the students, we know why you're wearing masks, because you don't want to be identified. It's shameful. It's unbelievably embarrassing behavior, but here's some encouraging news. WashU sent a notice to many students who broke the law the other night. You are temporarily suspended. Columbia University is doing that right now, suspending students. Hopefully, some will lead to expulsions. We'll keep you posted. We'll be back tomorrow, 3 o'clock. Have a great night.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.